All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our daily Major League Baseball podcast for Thursday, July 28th. I'm Doug Norrie. I'm on the line with Austin Barney. Austin, how's it going?
What's up? How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. We're coming off a really, really good night for the baseball projection system. Actually, really, it's kind of just on a heater for the last 4 or 5 days. So, waking up this morning, feeling uber, uber confident, which isn't always the best thing in the world. But for those that are here with us for the first time, we're DFSR.com, DailyFantasySportsRankings.com. We're here to help you with your Major League Baseball lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. You head over to the site, you get a bunch of free content. We have a chat room you can jump into if you have questions in real time that you want to ask. And then you can also grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system, powered by Lineup Lab. It helps you calculate optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. You can player include, player exclude, stack, double stack. It's a really powerful tool if you're looking to have an edge on either of those sites for MLB. And we have NFL coming soon, so we're really excited about that. Really everything you need to get yourself started in DFS. All right, today's Thursday. Thursday is always a little bit of a slower day in baseball. It's a getaway day for a lot of teams, so it's typically not a full slate of games. Today, no exception. We have 2 games early and I think 7 games in the evening. But because it's a little short of a day, we don't always do this, but let's talk a little bit about this 2-game early slate. I've been noticing people playing these slates, these shorter ones. Do you like shorter slates, or are they things you avoid?
I like short slates, as in like the 7-game slate that's in the late. But the 2 games are kind of weird. I do like them for tournaments, I guess, because if you just go crazy off the board, you have a good chance of hitting because the crowd is just so much on, you know, one thing. A bunch of people are going to be 70% owned. But I would say I definitely like the 7-game slates more than the little 2 or 3-game slates.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I should have qualified. Not all short slates are created the same. So baseball is a little different than, say, you know, basketball, in that 2 games you really – that you like, for instance, I like 2-game slates in basketball because basketball, it's a little bit more predictable and less variant. And then you – I see with these, like, a 2-game slate, your decision-making – really cascades if you make a problem, if you make a wrong decision, especially near the top of the pricing scale in basketball, your mistake will cascade all the way down your lineup through different like money decisions. Baseball is a little different just because the best players can just go 0-for-4. So it stands to reason that like you always have an advantage over the long term if you use a projection system like ours or somebody else's that's modeling in a certain way. But in baseball, 2 games can be, yeah, they can have pretty wild swings, pardon the pun. But anyway, we should talk about this 2-game slate, though. This Colorado, the Mets, and then the Diamondbacks at Brewers. Pitching-wise, I mean, it's obvious to you who you have to play in cash games, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so DeGrom?
Yep.
So walk me through the DeGrom case.
There's really not a case against him just because who else is on the slate.
Exactly.
But even if there was a couple other good pitchers, I think he's in play. Colorado's second worst team in WOBA on the road. They're not a good team. If they didn't play in Coors Field, they wouldn't be looked at with such a, you know, powerful spectrum. They're not good. They just called up David Dahl, who ruined Dylan Bundy's good game, but he's not very good. He strikes out a ton. So in cash games, there's absolutely no reason not to play him. Mm-hmm. I guess in tournaments, there's somewhat a case just because it's a 2-game slate and he's going to be like 95% owned. But I don't know if I see it or not.
Yeah, DeGrom's a weird kid. He's funny because I'm totally with you. It's a no brainer when it comes to having to play him in cash games. The other options here are Zach Davies, no good. Robbie Ray, not really that good. Tyler Anderson, no. So the other options are such a huge distance below. The gap between DeGrom and the next closest guy is huge. The problem with DeGrom is he's actually, you kind of do wonder a little bit of what DeGrom you're going to get. You get the 9-inning, 7K guy that he did against Philly, but then last game, 3 innings, 5Ks, 10 hits. He hasn't been a model of consistency this year. He's been good, for sure. And again, I'm not making the case against him necessarily, but his Ks are down this year. The walks are up a little bit this year. The xFIP is up. The numbers aren't trending in the correct direction for him overall. So, again, total no-brainer in terms of cash games. I'm not saying to fade him there at all. I probably wouldn't even fade him too much in tournaments, only because he has the most upside of any pitcher that's here also. But there are some question marks for me with him.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, these guys aren't good pitchers, but they all have had good games, mm-hmm. and they're capable of it in this matchup. I mean, Milwaukee and Arizona both do strike out a lot. They're not in Arizona. Miller Park is really good, but it's not as good as Chase Field. So I could see these other guys having a good game. I don't think they will, but I could see it in tournaments. I mean, if he's going to be – I really think on DraftKings probably 95% owned, on FanDuel maybe like 80 to 85%. So if he has a bad game, which he can easily do, and you just get one of these other guys – I could see the game theory in tournaments.
You know, and it's funny too. Like, you said about, you know, these guys have good games, and then this true. Robbie Ray, actually, his numbers, looking at his numbers a little closer now while you're saying that. He's got 11K per nine strikeout rate. He walks a lot of guys, which is an issue, 3.5 per nine. But, you know, the 3.5 xFIP, that's pretty good. And the ERA has been bad thanks to a rough BABIP. And really also a pretty low left on base percentage, though that's historical for him. So I'm not saying he's probably not running bad in left on base. So he might just have trouble keeping guys on, which is a little weird for a lefty, but it might be a stretch issue. The BABIP's been really bad this year, but a 355 xFIP, I can easily see pairing those two guys together. Milwaukee will strike out a lot, though they give lefty pitchers a little bit more problem than righties, just because they run righties down that. And down the lineup. All right, so I think we're pretty clear on the pitching here. What about offense? Is there if you had to pick one specific team to go after here, who would it be?
It probably is Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I think Arizona or the Robbie Ray probably is my second favorite pitcher, but I think Milwaukee's probably my favorite offense, which is kind of weird to think, but I think Ray has the upside and so do the Brewers. Braun is awesome versus lefties. Lucroy's awesome versus lefties, not this year, but historically. Chris Carter has two home run upside against anybody. But this slate as a whole, I just don't love, just because I literally think anything can happen. Yeah. I think any offense has a shot. I mean, I don't love Colorado, obviously, but I think Cargo can hit one. I think Arenado can hit off of him. So I don't love it, but if I had to pick one offense, it's probably Milwaukee.
Yeah, VR is actually a switch hitter at the top of the lineup. He's significantly better against lefties, too, for his career. Yeah. So the Brewers will really, really give you problems. It's really close for me. Like, so on DraftKings, I don't know. You can't really roster Ray and all the Brewers. I mean, I think it's fine to do that every once in a while with a pitcher and then one hitter, maybe two. Yeah. From like yesterday, for instance, I played Dickey on DraftKings, mistake, but also played a couple Padres against him because he was so cheap that I thought he could withstand some of what the Padres could give him and still kind of come out both sides. Today's a little different. I don't think you can, like, you can't roster Ray and then all the Brewers, because that will just be you'll cannibalize yourself over the thing. Davies is okay. I don't know. This makes me worry. This is a situation which has me like worried about DraftKings in general, because I don't want to roster that second pitcher.
Yeah, I think the only way you can really do that today is if you were to roster DeGrom like everyone else in tournaments, and maybe play a Cargo or Arenado, and if they hit a solo shot or two or whatever, I mean, you're not going to get hurt because everyone has DeGrom, and he's probably going to be having a better game than all the rest of them, and you're also going to get the home run. So I could see something like that, but yeah, I agree on the other three teams.
Yeah, and then you have the Mets in play also against Tyler Anderson, some of the righties there. I think overall it's a little bit of a weird slate, but I'm much more inclined to play FanDuel here because I only really want to roster with DeGrom, and then I'll take my chances with some of the bats. All right, let's move on to the evening slate of games. We have seven games here. There's some top tier pitching on tap, which I always like. It always makes me feel a little more comfortable. I always get, like, yesterday was a weird situation where we had so many decent pitchers but no great ones, and you just got all these guys like on FanDuel stuck in right around the 9500 range, somewhere in there, and they all I could make just a case for just about all of them at some point, and those situations always really worry me because someone's going to have a good piece of good pitching, and it just might not be you, and you kind of have to take a stand with a guy where the margins are thin. I don't see that as the case on this evening slate, really anywhere close to that. So talk me through a couple of the pitching options. We have some top-tier guys. Who do you like of the group at the top?
I like a lot of them, but I think my far and away favorite is Fernandez.
Yeah.
He has to face the menace Greg Garcia, which I'm not happy about. But other than that, he has – the lineup I'm looking at is going to have seven lefties in it, or seven righties, I'm sorry. The only two being Garcia and Adams. Other than that, they're all righties, four of which being Molina, Jerko, Waka, and Grechik. So, you know, that's a ton of strikeouts there. He has an insane strikeout rate. The Cardinals aren't really the same team that they have been. I mean, they still are patient and things like that, but if Fernandez is able to locate his pitches, I think he's going to dominate.
Yeah, the Cardinals have taken a hit. They've lost Carpenter, and they don't have Moss. And that was half of their lefty. Well, it's even more if you count their production. But basically, they went into the season with three decent lefty bats in Carpenter, Moss, and Adams. And then they added Greg Garcia's along the way, who's not bad, but the drop off from Carpenter to whoever's going to replace Carpenter is a pretty is a precipitous drop. And
yeah, Carpenter is one of the better hitters in the league.
Right. So when you take one of your better hitters in the league that's a lefty at the top of the lineup and replace him really with just anybody that does damage to what you can do against righty bats, they've taken a real hit there. They've taken a hit by losing Moss, though he's a high strikeout guy, but he does have the power upside. So the difference of the Cardinals against righties now is much different than it was at the beginning of the season. And you're right, they're running a train of righty bats all the way down the lineup. Some of these guys are pretty weak hitting. You know, Jorko, little pop, not really worried about him. Grichuk, little pop, not really worried about him. Molina, no pop, so not worried about him. And then the pitcher slot, that's a bottom of the order that Fernandez could just decimate, really.
Yeah.
And really just the top of the order, too. These guys just are not scary hitters. They're fine, but they're not elite. Some of them are a little past their prime. To me, he's far and away the top option here today. I mean, his numbers are sick this season.
Yeah, it's insane. I believe it's like a 16 K through 9 against righties.
Oh, yeah, it's something totally crazy. I mean, 13 K through 9 just against everybody. And 2.27 xFIP. He's going a little bit longer in games. They've lengthened the leash a little bit for him. He's controlling the walks as the year goes on, which is good. Like he's managing his pitch counts, which is always a worry for a power arm like him, because if he gets stuck in those 20 to 25 pitch innings where he's nibbling around the strike zone, it kills his upside for longer in the game. That hasn't been happening as much. I'm not really worried about it. The money line isn't as high as I want, only because he's probably got Waka on the other side. But yeah. I'm not even worried about it. The difference between Fernandez and the next closest guy isn't really that close for me. But if you were going to go away from him, the next two guys down the list are probably, they're just in price. It's Cueto and Price. But then you have some other decent, or I guess Hamels is there too. Oh, Sale. I mean, I take that back. There's some, it's interesting. There's more good pitchers on this slate than I thought. Cueto, Price, Sale coming back from suspension, Hamels is there. And then a little tier below, you have Nola and Lackey, both of who are fine. Also, of that group, are there one or two of those guys that you don't mind?
Yeah, I like Price a lot, and I like Cueto a good amount. Price, I think, is going to go way overlooked, maybe 5 to 10% owned, I believe. And, I mean, the Angels don't strike out a ton. They barely strike out. But Price, if he's on, he'll strike out 8, no problem. And, I mean, when you look at this lineup, it's so bad. Marte, Simmons, Bandy, Giovitella, and Petit are the last five guys. I mean, if David Price is on in that ballpark, it's going to be bad. This is the type of team he goes 9 innings and 7 strikeouts against.
Yeah, he has huge upside. He's a really frustrating pitcher to watch pitch because he really throws two pitches. He pounds the strike zone. He lets up home runs because of it, because he'll groove balls over the plate. But he also, he'll vary his pitches enough that he has such strikeout upside that I'm with you. No, he has the next probably closest strikeout upside with the opponent kept in mind, and it's a big move for him to go from Fenway out to LA. So he's been pretty unlucky this year. 4.51 ERA, but a 3.24 xFIP. The 3.24 xFIP is in the really good range, not elite range, but close. And he's really had a problem. The BABIP is 40 points higher than his career average. That's a problem. But that Fenway will get you a little bit on that, especially with lefty pitchers. But he's also just had a horrific time with guys on base. 70% left on base percentage, down 5% for his career, and that's killed him. That's allowed long innings. It's creeped the ERA up to 4.51. He's not a 4.51 ERA pitcher by any means. Not even close. And so I think I'm with you. The narrative on him is a little skewed. He screwed a lot of people in DFS this year, which is what the things people keep in mind. So, I think I like the Price pick a lot. What about, you said you like Cueto too. Give me a case against Cueto against the Nationals team with Harper and Murphy in the middle of the lineup.
I think he's just super safe, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, this ballpark is huge. Murphy and Harper really are the only two concerns. And even if they do hit a solo shot, which I don't really think Murphy will today just because of, he has trouble with super fast pitchers. But Harper is obviously always a concern. He hit one about 400 miles the other night. That was in third deck. But, I just think he's safe. I don't know. I do prefer Price and Fernandez over him, obviously. But if you're just looking for someone, off the board, that I think he's a little bit maybe safer than Fernandez, just because Fernandez, he sometimes just can't throw a strike, and that's really never a problem with Cueto.
Do you think Cueto's safer than Fernandez? I disagree with
that. I don't know. I think it's close just because, I mean, Fernandez against, who was it? I believe last year, or no, beginning of this year against a horrible team. He just had like...
He had a terrible game against the Braves.
Yeah, like five walks or something. I mean, occasionally, and the Cardinals, they're horrible right now, but they are super patient.
Yeah, that's true.
So if he's not throwing strikes, they're not going to be like the Padres and swing at a slider outside of the zone. So I could see it. I mean, Fernandez is my far and away top guy. But I think Cueto, the chances that he stays below 25 FanDuel points compared to Fernandez, I think is lower.
So, yeah, so the case for Cueto, just if we're just looking at Vegas to inform a little bit, case for Cueto is Nationals expected for less runs than the Angels, 3.65 for the Angels, 3.2 for the Nats. But then, so that's more in the favor of Cueto. Price is more of a money line, minus 170 right now to Cueto's minus 140. Some of that does come out in the wash. So you're right. I think it's probably is closer than I originally had thought. I take it back. We have Cueto projected for more points than Price. So what do I know? so I'm going based on like feel more than just the actual numbers. Yeah, our system has Cueto for a tick more points than Price overall. But you're probably right. Price more upside, Cueto maybe just a little bit of a higher floor, all things considered. After that group, can you get behind any of the other group that I mentioned before? The Lackey, Sale, Nola, Hamels, Tanner Roark, I guess, but any of those other guys or anyone even farther down the bottom feeders of the world, the Jimenezes, the Venturas, the Jared Weavers, anybody else like there even excite you a little bit?
I think Nola does a little bit just in cash. He's pretty cheap. I think, you know, you could throw him in cash games. I think he's fine against the Braves. They don't strike out a ton against righties, but I could see a 6-7 innings, 5 strikeouts, 1 earned run, and a win type of game. For the other guys, I think this White Sox-Cubs game, whatever the over is going to hit. I don't like either of the guys. I'm tired of John Lackey and everything about him. And Chris Sale, he's awesome, obviously, but I think he's just a little bit fed up. You know, the Cubs will take advantage of him.
You mean like cut his uniform up, kind of fed up? Like,
I mean, I love that, but that is like the most childish tantrum you could ever do.
Yeah, I'm so torn on things like that because at the one time I'm like, I consider myself like a man of the people. Like, I want people to be treated like fairly and like with respect, and I feel like the worker should be treated with respect and have their voice heard. At the same time, I don't know if I'm not like the Bernie Sanders kind of support, like that kind of thing. I more just mean like I'm for just like personal freedoms, but
do what you want.
Do what you want. But at the same time, like, I'm not sure from a business point of view it makes sense for you to like go around slicing up your uniform and then stomping around.
Yeah, but I mean, from a business sense, if you're the GM, does it make sense to say, no, you know, you're the only good player on our team, but I'm not going to listen to you. We're going to wear the jerseys even though you don't want to. I thought, you know, if I'm the GM, I'm like, all right, fine, I'll wear them tomorrow. Wear whatever jersey you want, whatever's most comfortable. You're the ace.
Right.
And you're pitching, right?
Or just, like, listen to all your guys and say, these uniforms suck and we don't want to wear them.
I could imagine wearing a sleeve and swinging. It probably doesn't really.
Exactly. So it was just kind of a funny thing. Anyway, yeah, we're waiting on a run line for the Cubs. The Cubs are the favorites. I expect it to come in somewhere in, like, the 8 to 8.5 range, only because the Cubs' offense ticks that up a little bit. I think the Cubs still aren't going to be expected to score tons of runs. I'm going to go back to Nola. Nola's really good, and he's a guy that just suffers from being on a bad team, unfortunately. He's had a bad combination of being on a terrible team / being a little bit unlucky, but his numbers are getting actually close to elite. He strikes out to almost 10 per 9. He walks only about 2, which is great. The xFIP is below 3 right now, and I go to the same stats with pitchers a lot because I think these are the ones that are most informative to tell about how a pitcher is truly performing. He has a left on base for the year over 106 innings of only 60%. That is so bad. 40% of runners that are getting on base are scoring. It just doesn't seem sustainable, even if you're terrible pitching out of the stretch. If you were the worst. Let's say you just like were, you know, even you're 40% worse pitching out of the stretch.
John Lester can't throw over.
Exactly. It just doesn't stand the reason that even that is sustainable. Like, those balls will just find people's gloves because he just can control and he has strikeouts. He's a guy that I actually like playing for the upside because if the team can just get a little bit behind him, and this is the time to do it against a guy like Whistler, and his numbers are as good as any of the guys that we mentioned, like Cueto and Price at the top. His peripheral numbers are as good as those guys. He just happens to play on a terrible team, and he's been unfortunately very, very unlucky this year. I love playing him in tournaments today. I think he has just about as much upside as anyone, but except for Fernandez. And if he can really dial the K's up, he might get into that zone, probably not. But I really, anyway, that's the end of my Nola. Nola was like my second half of the season guy to turn it around. He was the guy I just love looking at. All right, let's go.
He's good. He's a really good pitcher.
Oh, yeah. And he just sucks. I feel so bad when these guys play on bad teams because, like, you're just going to spend the rest. And the Phillies don't have a lot of light at the end of the tunnel stuff either. No. So he's just going to be doomed to be staring at, like, the Andres Blancos and Cesar Hernandezes of the world hitting when he's in the bench. So, unfortunately, it sucks when that happens to a good pitcher. Let's take a look at the offensive side of things. Always a weird situation when we have this many good pitchers going, though there, like I said, there are some bottom feeders of the world out there. Some of the higher overs on the day, Rangers are a little over 5, Red Sox a little under 4, excuse me, a little under 5, though that's a problem maybe with some of their prices. Twins right around 5, Orioles a little over 4.5. Those are the run lines coming in a little higher on the day. I guess we can go position by position just because we have enough games here. Walk me through catcher here. Who do you think you can play? If the game started right now, who would you be playing?
I don't love the position. It's probably my least favorite of the bunch. So if I am going to go, I might just end up going with a talent type of thing and going with Posey. I know he's really expensive. He's not too bad on FanDuel at 3.1. But there's no other real guy that stands out. I mean, Sal Perez, Wilson Contreras are really the only two that we'll see the top of the lineup. Maybe Real Muto if he hits leadoff for some unknown reason.
He did yesterday, so it's not out of
I don't get that at all, but weird. I could see Wieters maybe. He's, you know, if he's hitting 5th or 6th, he's just so bad. He has like a 220 wOBA against lefties and like a 280 against righties, so he's atrocious. But, yeah, I think this could be, if there's a backup guy in there that moves up to 7 or 8, I might just play him at 2K because I really don't like anybody.
We're also in a weird situation today because most of the parks are pitcher's parks. So it's a combination of decent arms and pitcher's parks. Really the only place I would label, I guess, Wrigley, depending on the wind, and then Texas is a hitter's park. All the rest of these places, really.
Target kind of, I guess. But
yeah, I guess to some degree. And the Twins run line is up there. But a lot of these places just favor the pitcher, so it's a little odd. Posey's price is so low on DraftKings that I think you can take the swing with him at catcher. Yeah. $3,300 on DraftKings really isn't much for him at all, considering his talent. But Contreras is there, too. Contreras better against lefties, though Sale, obviously, an elite pitcher. The Cubs are going to be the weird thing. I have a feeling what's going to happen today with our system is it's going to favor the Cubs because they're getting that lefty-righty matchup, and they're going to be willing to overlook – it's going to be willing to overlook some of the run line issues because of the talent. So that's not a situation I love being in when it comes to safety, because if a guy like Sale is on, then that you could be looking at a lot of zeros. But I think you'll be able to find someone in there that you can stomach. Let's go on to first base. Give me a guy or two there.
Chris Davis is definitely my top option. Well, I shouldn't say definitely because he's right up there with Ortiz. I think those two guys are – I think Ortiz might be a little bit safer, but I am worried a bit about the ballpark. Although, I mean, Fenway's not very good for lefties, and he hits it 500 feet there.
Yeah, doesn't seem to have a problem there. Yeah.
But I think Chris Davis against Kyle Gibson. Gibson has the perfect arsenal for Davis. You know, 90-mile-an-hour fastball, nothing really intimidating. So he's probably my top option with Ortiz right behind him.
Yeah, the Ortiz Davis thing is a much different question on DraftKings, where Ortiz is 5,600, really almost too expensive considering how many of the other arms you have here. So the $1,500 savings you get on Davis is significant. That he's just much better points per dollar wise than Ortiz on FanDuel. I'd be willing to pay up a little bit probably for Ortiz only because the pricing there between the two of them is close. There's a couple other guys lower down the salary tier. I would like to get your opinion on some of these guys. Because let's say we have to go cheaper. The problem here is going to be we might need to go cheaper all around. Because if you're going to roster Fernandez or even guys like Cueto or Price, that doesn't leave a ton of salary left over. You have a little bit cheaper down the way. You have guys like Ryan Howard, Abreu, Brandon Belt. Anyone there get you excited? Do you think you can stomach any of their salaries? They're all below $3,000 on FanDuel, and I think you're going to need to go some of these places with the pitching.
Yeah, two of those guys. Not Abreu, but I like Belt and Howard a lot. I think Belt's more of a cash game guy. Roark is a good pitcher. It's a good ballpark for pitching, so I don't love him. But Ryan Howard's probably my favorite tournament low type of guy. I mean, I wrote the picks article, so let me reference that.
Right.
He has the 11th longest average fly ball rate this season, which is a weird stat, but it's pretty much just saying that he hits the ball a long way, and he's been super, super unlucky. So, I mean, he's really a home run or bust. If he hits the ball, it's either going over the fence or going to the second baseman who's playing in the outfield. So, I mean, I like him a lot, though. Matt Whistler, I'm pretty sure they played the Phillies like a week ago and he hit a home run. I could be wrong with that, but I like him. Tommy Joseph, also pretty good. I think if people are going to go to a first base in Philly, it's going to be Howard. So I could see Joseph being a little contrarian as well.
Yeah, Whistler doesn't have much of a K. Whistler's just a bad pitcher. So the K rate's low, which helps Howard. The question with Howard is just, is he going to be in the lineup or not? He's not playing every day at this point. Yep. So there's a chance that he's not in the lineup tonight, though. He's been the at-bats have been low. He hasn't really played the last couple games, so it looks like this would be around the time, if you look at his game log, where he does play again. So I 2,100 on FanDuel, I think you can take the risk just because he's free. It's such a punt play. I'm willing to stomach a zero there for the upside. No one really else has the kind of upside he has in that price range. Again, yep. he's not the guy that signed that huge contract that was good for like a year or two and then Philly and that was it. But for 2,100, and if he's hitting around the middle of the order, I think you can go for it. Let's hit up second base here. I have a couple guys in mind. I'm wondering if we're on the same page here.
I don't know. I think this is like a weird position because I don't love everybody, but I think there's a lot of guys to consider. I think my top two are probably going to be Jonathan Scope and Dustin Pedroia. And I don't know if that's who you had on your mind, no, but
it wasn't.
Yeah. Scope hits righties hits righties a lot better than he does lefties. Has, I believe, a 380 wOBA against righties on the season. So I think he's actually going to be in the two spot. He's been there in, like, the seven spot and the nine spot or something weird. But that lineup, if he's in the two spot, I really like him. I like Pedroia because Weaver is very non-intimidating. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, in the two spot, I feel like he's pretty safe.
Yeah, no, I'm going a little different direction. I don't mind Pedroia. I'm not a big Scope fan. I'm worried that he's not going to be in the top of the lineup with Kim back because I think they're going to hit Kim second again. But for me, on FanDuel at least, it's just really a plug and play, and it's easy for me. It's Profar. Profar is hitting first or second again today. They've been pretty committed to keeping him near the top of the lineup in the short term. Who knows with the Rangers? They screw things around like, you know, Mazzara was batting eighth last night and then was hitting second, so who really knows what they do? I mean, I know it was against the lefty, so it's a little different. But Profar switch, the fact that, A, Profar can switch hit, which will keep him around some of the different platoon things that they will throw around. Like, he won't get burned by the lefty-righty matchup at all. He's hitting first or second in the lineup. Only 2,300 on the FanDuel has just never corrected his price at all, mm-hmm. considering the new opportunity. So 2,300 on FanDuel is, for me, an easy play if he's in the top to the lineup. Actually, I'd probably even go down to like fifth. If he for some reason went down to fifth or sixth, I'd probably still play him there. He's decent, 750 OPS this season, a little bit of power in the bat. He projects, he's always been a real prospect. So
yeah, I think he was number two in the entire
league. Yeah, he's a real guy. He's a real guy, real pedigree. I love the price there. It's a little different on DraftKings where he's up to in the mid 3,000s. There, I think you can. On DraftKings, I don't mind even going like a Zobrist, who's better against lefties. He's only 2,900 against Sale. That's really, that's like one of those ones kind of like daring you to play him. So 2,900, I know it's against an elite arm, but that Zobrist is better split. So I think I can go there. I'm a little different from you on second base today. I'm not in love. I definitely don't like Scope, I don't think. Yeah. But Pedroia against Weaver, that's a little bit more of my flavor.
I think Dozier as well. I think he's in a pretty good spot against Jimenez. Jimenez is another guy that's just a bad pitcher at this point. Mm-hmm. And Dozier, he is a lot better against lefties, but he has power against anybody. And I don't like the position at all. So I think if you take a little home run shot with Dozier, it's not a bad way to go.
All right, a bunch of different options there for sure. Again, we'll have to kind of see how some of the lineups play out. But a lot of these guys are pretty static in the lineup, so I'm not totally, totally worried about it. Let's go to shortstop. Give me a guy or two.
This is like another weird kind of position because no one really stands out. But I think Bogaerts is good. I like Tim Anderson against Lackey. He's been really good. He has speed, has power upside, as well as Eduardo Nunez for the Twins. He's been really good facing off with Jimenez. I really like the Twins offense as a whole, and he's, you know, kind of been the most consistent of them all.
It's going to be interesting today with the pricing. We're going to run into a weird pricing thing, I think, on these sites because if we want to roster Fernandez, you're just going to have to either hope that that a guy moves up to the top of the lineup and you can grab a little value on someone cheap or you overpay somewhere. I think we're just going to be in a weird spot here. Shortstop strikes me as one of those places. think you can think about cheap guys like Crawford down. He doesn't, you know, he hits not in the middle of the lineup, but he's not a bottom feeder by any means. He's running a little bit cheaper than the rest of them. Nunez is a little bit cheaper on FanDuel at 3,700 than some of the guys you mentioned before. Again, it's going to be weird, but some of these Cubs righty bats, like Russell or Baez, if they're up near the top against Sale, this is what I'm saying about the problem with the Cubs, I think, today is going to be I dare you to situation with their prices, especially if they move up in the lineup. So, yeah, Anderson, 2,900. There's a couple different. I'm stumbling here because nothing is really exciting me here on shortstop.
Yeah, I'm seeing right now, which I'm just seeing, is Wrigley's blowing in like 15 miles an hour, which Vegas is going to probably go crazy with and give it like a 6 or a 6.5 or a 7. So I do like the pitchers a little bit more.
I'm hoping that happens.
I also like Anderson a little bit more just because if it is going to be low scoring and he gets on base, they're going to be more pushed to run him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that offers up a little more upside at a position that really doesn't have any.
One guy I'm interested to see about if the Royals moved Alcides Escobar back to the leadoff spot against the left. I don't know why he's horrible, so I don't know why they bat him leadoff. Like, he's got like a 280 or something like that on base percentage, which is the exact opposite. We were having this chat in the chat room last night about, you know, how teams make up their orders, and I was just, and James and I were just in there basically like pleading with people to understand about why teams like why the Cubs will hit Chris Bryant second and. It makes like the Cubs are on the cutting edge of this. They understand it, right? Yeah. They're like, well, we understand. Just hit all your best hitters first. It doesn't matter if they're fast or not. And Brian actually does.
Blue Jays are kind of there too.
Exactly, they 100% they are, and those guys are cut from the same cloth. And those teams understand it. Other teams don't seem to understand, and I just will forever boggle my mind when they don't. Nationals,
that's the one that.
Well, they're finally coming around a little bit because they at least moved Harper and Murphy up in the lineup to second and third.
When they put like Danny Espinosa second instead of just moving Harper there,
Ben Revere or things like this, like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, it just makes it's and like I know some people want to go, oh, I know one thing that was getting thrown around last night was a prototypical, but there's no such thing as that anymore. And sometimes the word prototypical just means wrong. It was just incorrect to hit some of these guys near the top lineup just because they had wheels or whatever.
That's like a prototypical point guard. Nowadays, there's really no such thing.
Yeah, that's a good comp. Right. So, like, it just doesn't matter. You just want to have your best players with the ball or your best players hitting. Yep. It doesn't matter if they're a little bit slower than the guy before him because it's mitigated by the fact that they get on base. Alcides Escobar is the opposite of that. He doesn't get on base
and he doesn't steal.
He doesn't steal either. Like, I can understand it too. Well, the problem is he doesn't steal because he doesn't get on base. Like, he doesn't do anything. You can't steal second when you're in the dugout, right? And so when you go up there and you get out, it is going to be really hard to steal second because you're not standing on first. So anyway, it's a stupid thing. But anyway, let's go on to third base. I could go on for 15 minutes about this. Third base here. I'm really hoping again. I'm hoping some cheaper things come pushed to the top. But what are you looking at for third base?
I think this might be the spot that I spend up with Machado.
Okay.
He's awesome. I mean, that he's one of the best third basemen in the league. One of the best hitters in the league. Really. I mean, he's had a nearly 400 wOBA across the whole season. So I don't really see anyone else at the position that's worth it. Maybe Michael Franco against Whistler because Whistler's not good, as you said. Maybe Frazier just because he has raw power. But there's no one that I see that's really in a great matchup. Maybe Travis Shaw, but he's low in the order, and I'm not a fan of that. So Machado is really the only guy that sticks out, and I think that's probably where I'd try to spend today.
Yeah, this position is probably the worst of the bunch. And that's my daughter yelling in the background. So I'll discuss why not to yell during the podcast later with her. Let's finish it off with the outfield here. Again, I'm sort of going to be hoping and praying on some cheaper options here. I think we're going to need them, though. I think obviously because there's three positions here, this will offer us our most chance to grab some cheaper bats if we want to pay up for the Fernandezes of the world. Who do you like here at outfield?
I think Mazzara and Gallo are going to be super chalk. And rightfully so, especially on FanDuel. I'm not exactly sure their DraftKings price, if you want to tell me that. But on FanDuel, they're super cheap, 2.4 and 2.2. They're probably going to be in 2 and maybe 5 or 6 spots. So I think they're going to be the cheap guys that everyone goes after. But I think if you want to be different, you could go somewhere, you know, with the White Sox or somewhere with the Marlins, like an Ozuna, Stanton, Yelich type of thing, because all of those guys have upside. But I think cash game-wise, I'm just going to go back to the Orioles and Twins game. It's probably my favorite offensive game overall. Trumbo, Kim, Jones, Sano, Kepler, I think all those guys are in play. My favorite is probably Trumbo and Sano just because, I mean, they have the most power and these pitchers are just give up a ton of power to right-handers.
Yeah, Sano has been underpriced, though the price has creeped up a little bit here on FanDuel. Finally, he was sitting in that 3,000 range forever. Now he's up to 3,800. That's pushing the breaking point a little bit with him, though he still has so much power upside. Am I seeing this correctly? Bryce Harper's only 3,200 today. Did you see this? That is going to be a weird one. I know he's facing Cueto. That's a must play for me. I don't care. It's Harper. Harper negates the fact that Cueto's good for me at 3,200. Gallo, I was looking at the prices real quick. Mazar is 4,000 on DraftKings, so I think that's probably out of play unless he's hitting second. Yeah. And even then, it's probably pretty close. Gallo, though, he's only 3,300 on DraftKings. Our system loves him. He came into he got activated the other night and then hit the lineup. And he was projected for so many points in our system that I had to essentially manually downgrade him into the realm of normal because it was like, oh my God, this guy's like better than Bryce Harper. I just need to go back and look at some of the inputs on him because he's definitely a prospect. He's a real guy. He's been shuttled up and down where he's been one of those guys who's just destroyed the minors and then kind of come up and been okay.
He had 50% strikeout rate or something his first stint.
Yeah. He was just striking out every single at bat, basically. They sent him back down. He rakes. He's back up again. I think he'll probably be up for the rest of the season. They could use the power. So he'll be a guy that if he's in the – really, I just know how our system works. If he's in the lineup at all, he'll be in the optimal lineups today. I can see both he and Mazzara. I mean, what do you think about Harper? Do you think that price is like a dare you to play Harper at 3,200?
Yeah, I think it is. And by the way, I think Prince Fielder's out for the season, so he's going to really have to stay up.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, I think he tore some in his neck, which that really sucks.
I missed that news completely. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I think Harper, I think it's close because Jackie Bradley is the same exact price on FanDuel, and obviously Harper's a million times better than him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the matchup's not even close. So, I don't know. I think that one's really close. If I have a hint on what I think the ownership's going to be, I'd probably just go with the guy that's lesser owned.
Would you go with Adam Jones at 3,500 or Harper at 32?
Harper. But I would go with Stanton over Harper.
Oh, so he's going to option C, guy I didn't mention. Okay, so right. So they're all in the same. They're all in the same thing. Yeah, it's actually funny because, like I said, this is the lowest, one of the lowest projections we've given Harper all year. It makes sense. Bad park, good pitcher. But even so, he's so elite that it really does challenge you to decide what to do on a guy like him. It'll be interesting to see how people narrate their way through that price for him. That's the lowest I've ever seen him, and I think probably the lowest he'll be all season. Yeah. But I'm with you. I'm glad you pointed out Gallo because he was a guy that I don't have static as being in the lineup right now. So it defaults, our system defaults to he's hitting 11th or something like that. But once he hits the lineup, I'll probably even just adjust it if he's projected to be in there. He's a great punt play. He's actually the exact kind of guy we want today in terms of getting Fernandez into the lineup. So I'm excited about the outfield having some cheaper options to go there. And I think that is it for us today, man. I know we had a couple stops and starts as little baby Nori just didn't want to seem to get the podcast fully finished today. But we've made it through the woods out on the other side. Short two-game slate. Any other final thoughts? What are your final thoughts here today?
I don't really have any final thoughts, but
he's not the best in the business for nothing, folks.
Orioles are gonna hit some home runs. There we go. All Machado, right. Machado, Davis, and Trumbo. Two of them will.
There you go. He did it. He pulled that out. He dug deep for something. All right, we're here from dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, dfsr.com. For short, you head over to the site. You can read all the content. Austin's picks articles up there today. We have tons of free content going up there every day. You go over and grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system. And while we were talking, I just saw a guy in our chat room say, people are always touting when things are going well. I know I've been saying that the system's been on a heater lately. Said he won $3,000 in a tournament. Rico, a Rick Lobb over there on our chat room, give him a shout out. Won $3,000 in some tournament last night. I didn't see which, but we had a lot of these guys coming in last night. I won X. I won this many hundred. I won a couple thousand. The system's just been absolutely dominating over the short term. So go and check out free 3-day trial. Of that, and then $29.95 a month after that, and you're all set to go. Awesome, man. We did it. We made it through my daughter's wailing and crying in the background, but that's all right. We're heroes, and we will be back again. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
All right, see you.
Later.